We're live.
Oh, hello.
I'm alive.
Oh, my God. Dude, I'm sorry.
Jocelyn said, God bless, good blessed evening, everyone. I pray you had a wonderful day. I'm all ready for a Bible study.
Amen. Amen. Right on, girl.
Hello, Jocelyn.
Who else is ready for Bible study?
Tell Thea to come over
here. I am.
Tell Thea she should be up here.
You better be prepared.
Hello, Roger.
I'm ready for you guys today.
I know, I can tell.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Roger. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Kathy.
What do you say? Don't twist over.
Hello.
Can you twist over?
I don't think Cody's on yet. Oh, yeah, she's up. She's over. Yeah, there's six people. So. I'm going to say hi, Cody, too.
Yeah.
Is your Cody here?
She was. She always has comments.
It's only like 20 minutes.
She never makes comments, but she always has comments for me.
Yeah.
It's only 20 minutes.
Thank you.
She read this from here.
He's answering everybody's questions.
Yeah.
From here?
Yeah.
So. Did Tracy make it?
Are you guys ready for this book?
We're ready,
sir.
You guys realize like this is the best part of the book we're about to get into, right?
Okay.
Like all the other stuff, you know.
The part that kind of reassures us that we can speak to each other about if we feel a certain way.
Wait till you read on.
This is the best part because we're living it now, you know what I mean?
Excuse me,
this is the uplift and
so far from
the conviction.
So I predict tonight we'll finish chapter one.
He usually screams like this and they talk.
Yeah, you think they go that long?
I think we'll already finish chapter one.
No, we didn't.
So we're going to start Revelation.
Part 3. I guess we're not getting into it yet.
You know what are we doing?
Revelation starting at part 3. Verse.
I thought we were starting at Daniel.
No, that's like chapter 5.
All right.
Yeah, bring in. Chapter 5.
Get going.
Oh, we're rocking out reading the whole.
We are going to read Daniel.
We are going to read Daniel.
But because I thought we ended Thursday with that.
Yeah, no, I got it on my cup right here. It says Daniel 7, 9 to 12. For verse at 13, you know what I mean?
Is that your best owl impersonation?
Yeah. All my girl impersonations are like this.
Hi, my name is Ollie. Hear me roar.
I'm a dinosaur.
Daniel 7:9. Oh, yeah, that's where we cut him off.
Alright.
So you're going to Daniel 7:9?
Not yet.
We'll
get there.
I'm reading right now.
You got my girl stirred up over here, man.
Not yet, Blue.
Ray haven't even prayed.
Thank you, Allie.
Ray haven't even said hello.
Well, hello.
Yeah, we did. Hello. We said hi, Roger. Remember?
You didn't do your thing.
Were you that good?
You did it. Announcements. All right, so announcements, here they come. You guys ready for this?
We're ready.
Be prepared.
Down at it.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, Bible study at 6:30 p.m. in the Book of Revelation. Boring. Just kidding.
Give me the microphone.
Here. It's exciting.
Yes.
And it'll
she's excited.
It'll open up your mind. You might get a revelation.
Ooh.
And then on Saturday, don't forget, work day.
Amen.
And then on the 18th, we have men's and women Bible study. It'll be May 18th at 9 a.m. I'm sure there's food. There's always food. And then we have a council meeting. Don't forget, June 2nd, we are doing a potluck after church. So sign up in the back.
Sunday.
Actually,
I can do it right now.
We have to have a list for the men's part.
I'll do it.
And then, last but not least, on our list of activities is VBS. It'll be from July 29th to August 2nd. And then...
Go race fans.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. It's the race behind it, Pomona.
Go race fans.
Sunday.
And don't forget that if the movie nights are going to start in June. And then from there, the last Sunday before June, after church, we're going to hold a Democratic vote on what we want to do.
You say that.
The same day of the council meeting.
About what?
The same day of the council meeting.
Democratic vote for what?
For the movies.
Oh.
You know, during the summer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you want to stick around and see something you like, your vote counts, but only in this church.
Yes!
So let us pray in, yes? Are we all unified?
Yes.
So
Hi, Joe. Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ, and Kathy said hello all.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, let's say show her some love.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we ask that you open our minds, Lord, and wipe them clean so that we can pay attention, Lord. We ask that that we have ears to hear what you have in store for us. So, Lord, help us do your will and not ours, Lord. Forgive us for our sins, Lord. Help us keep the fight the good fight of faith, Lord, and keep at it, Lord. Not fall from it, but remember to keep in repentance with you, Lord. So, bless the study ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we're gonna first, we left off at 13, so we're gonna read 9 to 20 again.
Yes.
And then we're gonna jump right back to 13. Alright, you guys ready for this? Anyone wanna lead us tonight?
Sure.
Alright, send it.
Alright. Yeah. We're ready.
Nine.
One night.
Don't lead us off the cliff, you know what I mean? I need some
tissue. Oh no! Oh,
oh, oh. Oh. Turn.
Oh.
Just pick it off the stamp.
Pull it out. Pull it out.
She's pull it out. Pull it out, man.
Flip it. There. See?
Oh, see, Matt's so smart. Like I mean, she's so smart.
First nine. I don't hear myself. Alright. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner, the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos, on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in the book, in a book, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to
Smyrna
and to
Pergamum
and to and to Sidon and to Philadelphia and to
Laodicea.
Yes, I love a lot of CS.
We are in Revelations 1. We are at Revelation 1, verse 12 now.
Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven gold lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnishing bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like a shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the thing that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
She needs grandma's arms.
She needs someone that may not have her competition. That might be just, that's exactly what it's going to
be. Yeah, Mama.
All right, so you guys ready to jump back into verse 13?
I hope it's a sign. I hope it's a sign.
Verse 13, here we go. And it says, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire.
I can imagine that right now.
You can?
Let's do a figure right here, like just like that.
Yeah, you see it clearly?
Very much so.
So then what do you think the... What do you think the...
The whitest snow is pureness.
Pureness?
Yeah.
Like it's a perfect sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
What about the... What about the...
The blazing eyes?
Yeah, what about the blazing eyes?
I don't know about the eyes.
They all part of glory. They all represent God's glory.
That was pretty well.
What?
They all represent God's glory, the description of it. Represent God's glory.
There you go.
Yeah. It's all different aspects of God because it's powerful.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
Like his the eyes, I see those eyes that pierce into your soul, right? That convict you to the heart. You know, we're going to bomb, it's a spoiler, but the scroll that comes
up.
We just love chapter 4. We just love it.
I love it too.
Because we have to get to chapter 4. Because it tastes sweet going in and it's sour. It's like we read these words and we get comforted by it, but then we get convicted. And that's the piercing, the eyes like fire piercing our soul. He wants to cleanse us, and he cleanses us from the inside out, you know, the conviction.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys see as the eyes are blazing fire?
Hey, he's in command.
Yeah.
Total power, man.
Just like, crazy...
I would say that it's everything that they have ever described God to be in the spiritual sense in its physical form.
I love it, bro. I think you're right on it.
Yeah.
You know what I always thought of? Was he tells us that the eyes are the lamp of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the eyes are good, then the rest of the body is good. And so his eyes being like blazing fire is showing he is nothing but good.
Mm-hmm. It's just like exactly what Paul was saying about the piercing and again, it's still stuck in Hebrews, but in Hebrews 4:12 it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So 4:12.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, with like the piercing of the soul, like you said, with the eyes and whatnot. And
the best part of what you read is the last part. Read it again.
And is it discerned of the thoughts and intents of the heart?
Yeah.
Mine says it. It reveals the thoughts and desires of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He reveals the thoughts. Oh. So when you're spending time with
the heart,
when you're spending time with them, all the truth comes out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I wanted to share with you guys too about it that I think is beautiful, and we need to take this into consideration, goes with what you said earlier and what you just said right now, is that all the things we see him here being, you know, when we see his being here, his being,
mm-hmm.
Okay. When we see his being here, then when we read about us in him, then we resemble these things, right? When our sins get washed away, they become white as wool, white as snow, right? We get fitted with our feet to be fitted on the ground where we're unmovable.
Mm-hmm.
All the different things that you said, the aspects of who God is, right? And something you just said makes the same sense to me, but it, even the all-knowing, like, the eye, you know, that's what the revealing the thoughts and desires of the heart, right? Nobody knows the thoughts of a man but the man himself,
mm-hmm.
but you and I have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You get it? You don't get it?
Represent all his glory, all his glory in us,
yes,
like
thank
him.
You, thank you. And that's the whole first chapter is describing who Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
And I see who we are in him. You understand? That's why when you go into the churches, we see things that we need to correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not picking on these seven churches, you guys. He's using these seven churches to show us what's in every church.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There's seven literal churches, but they also represent the churches of the world.
Because even back then, these churches are in a clockwise circle.
Yes, they are.
And they go across Asia Minor, mm-hmm. and they go right back to themselves. But there was thousands of churches in there, not just those seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he's speaking to the church, mm-hmm. using the seven to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
But but we need to see ourselves in him, because I was reading right here in, I already moved it. I was reading in Mark 8 when Jesus rebuked Peter, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," right? Then he went into what it meant for us to follow him and pick up our crosses daily and follow him. And that's putting all these things that he reveals to our hearts when we're spending time with him into practice to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just thought that you should know that.
Yeah.
Because you have that eye when you're in the Lord. Amen.
Your eyes can be like blazing fire if you're sitting time with the Lord.
Read the one. Yeah, there's so much power in it. I've got to tell you that we miss this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell you guys something? When you get so close to the Lord that you're living like him, right? When he's working your life and you're literally displaying him because you've chosen to live like him, then when you speak, there's power in those words.
Mm-hmm.
There's power in them. Like you said, oh man, I love what she said about like imagining what that, seeing him like that, right? Because that's who he is. When he walked on the earth, a lot of people didn't accept him, but they all understood him.
Right? Oh yeah.
And you see,
he spoke to every one of
the eyes. You see the things of the world for what they are.
Yeah, exactly. That's right there is the. When the transformation starts to take place.
Yes.
I'm talking about when you're living in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's a good one too, because that's where it starts. Amen. So kind of catch yourself in that too, because...
So one thing I've heard from like lots of testimonies of people who have like had like near death and all this or whatever, mm-hmm. is a common claim is like Jesus is still the same age and whatnot, and here this isn't describing all of them, right? It's the purity of it, right? Okay.
Oh yeah.
So it's like I said, the physical manifestation of the spirit.
I'm going to give you the best example. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The transfiguration.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Me? Oh yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay, good, 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 good. Well, you guys need to speak up.
We did.
Oh, good. Yeah,
I'm ready, brother. I'm ready.
I know I've already shared it with you guys, but when you look at the transfiguration, it's beautiful because Jesus didn't change at all.
Mm-hmm.
I really know that for a fact. The first time I ever heard that was like I was a kid. I was probably in my mid-20s, and the pastor said that it was like taking sunglasses off, because everybody had like the veil.
Mm-hmm.
It was like taking sunglasses off and looking at the sun, that Jesus was just showing his real self to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he was, but everybody has a veil and they can't see him. And that's what we're talking about, right? The more we see him and live in him, the more we're going to resemble him.
Mm-hmm.
You get it? The power of God. What does Paul say? That the word of God, he's not ashamed of the word of God because it's the power unto salvation for those who believe. There's power in the words when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're living the life. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
That's walking in confidence.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence.
It even says right here, it mentioned the word of God. It tells you in Revelation 1. It starts at 16. It says, In his right hand, he held the seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. Those are the words of God. Those are God's words.
Same thing he just read in Hebrews 12. Mm-hmm. It's the word of God that's like a double-edged sword, cutting through bone and marrow, soul and spirit.
It's the same as his eyes piercing you. That sword pierces you because the sword is the word.
Pierces your heart. He's going to go on as we go into Revelation a little deeper. He's going to go on that he conquers the enemy with that sword. So understand the purity of living in Christ in his word, because it's his word that conquers. It's his word that conquers even today in our life.
It was even in the temptation. What did he come back when the devil tried to tempt him? He came back with the word. The word each time.
You know, something I thought of, which is back at the hair white as wool, was in Proverbs, it talks about gray hairs being wisdom.
Oh, Proverbs?
Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're in Proverbs.
So, I'm so far from it.
You mean like this? I was trying to find it. I was trying to find it.
But when you just got it, text it to me.
I'll let you know right now.
Full of wisdom.
That must be. Look
at that. Who is the smartest one in the room?
No, wisest.
Wisest. You're the wisest.
She's like a nun.
Do you know, so early on in your walk, before you started reading and had a relationship with God, how did you picture God?
How did I picture?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, because there were so many pictures out that made us image that image. I always thought he had the white hair. I always thought he had the white robe and the gold sash around him.
You picture him. I mean, as a youngster, I pictured him as this elderly man on a throne.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, I didn't think of
power,
him on a throne.
White hair. Yeah.
Like Zeus?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, there you
power
go.
And a throne of judgment. And, you know, he's going to drill me down for what I'm doing. But
that's,
we find out that God's a God of love, but he's still on that throne. We get that picture. That's another spoiler.
Spiritual being.
But it's true, though. It's true.
But that wisdom, and I think that's like the white hair and showing the wisdom, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, showing that he's God and man.
Amen.
But no longer man, because
he
ascended.
Well, the reason why I brought that up is because if you thought of it that way, based off of Proverbs, then he would be the wisest of all people.
Absolutely.
Above all people, like
good enough.
Wisdom
good
beyond.
He totally was.
Beyond years.
Joe said, "Is that why I have no gray?"
Yes.
Just kidding. That comes in a bottle.
Horrible.
A bottle of gray in your hair.
You know, that's why she didn't have any.
Oh. Well then. Moving right along.
And they have a lot of wisdom in this room.
Have we talked about the robe last week?
Come on, figure it.
I think we did. The robe and the golden sash. Representing that authority, that kingship. The royalty.
The truth and righteousness.
Oh yeah, the belt.
Yeah,
represents the sovereignty.
Right.
Yep.
What I see here is in the description is like the fullness of the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see. Like when it's being described.
His glory and sovereignty.
Like as if it was probably something they saw on the Transfiguration.
Oh yeah.
You know, like they probably saw the same image.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
What about the feet like bronze?
What do you think that means?
Well, I'm asking. No, I'm seriously asking.
yeah.
Anyone?
No, go ahead.
Steve,
no one?
No one?
Yeah, that one, I don't get it, and that's the only part of it that's always twisted me.
Yeah, it's twisted me a little bit, too. I have an idea, but I don't think it's right.
I see.
As
the unmovable nature of him, that his feet are like bronze, and bronze was a strong metal in that day. They didn't,
I thought it was like the cheap metal.
So they put every step, but even
I don't think so. Bronze was bronze. They
pillars.
They highly
the pillar
valued
of life.
Mm. I always thought it was a cheap metal.
I think they changed it. I think they used it so they could. Was more pliable. But his feet like bronze. If you look like in Daniel when he's talking about the statue. The statue, the idol, the vision of the idol.
It's in the dream, right?
Yeah.
The Pharaoh, or the Nebuchadnadar's dream, or whatever.
What's
his feet?
It was both, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it a boat?
They were like clay, and that's where they fell, but the bronze didn't fall.
Why is that?
Because it's like Paul tells us our feet need to be fitted with readiness, like stuck to the ground, like they're not going to move, they're unmovable.
Standing on the rock.
And when you've done everything you can to stand, what do?
Stand. Stand firm.
And it's the Word of God that does that. We don't do it. Because we would wimp out.
Rigid in the Word of God?
Well, God... Jesus said, I am the Word, so it's who he is. He's not going to move.
Right.
So that's a symbol of who he is. He's planted. Unmovable. But what were you thinking, Jacob?
Well, if bronze wasn't a cheap metal, then I have no idea. I always thought bronze was a cheap metal because you need bronze and tin to make copper.
But how would Jesus have cheap shoes on?
Or actually,
I thought it was
actually tin and copper make bronze.
Right? Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay. So then maybe I'm backwards. Because I thought it was.
Because bronze is a man made metal, but tin and copper.
Oh, okay. I had it backwards then, yeah. And I just thought bronze was like a. And it was like a. Like the way you walk, it's in like being humble, but like it don't make sense to me anymore. Now that
no, I understand the bronze is being indestructible, unfirm, never, you know, that's why we put everything in bronze nowadays, but I just didn't understand the glowing, like, it's in the
furnace.
You know what I mean? Is that bright, the bronze?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because we don't know what fireplace stuff does.
Yeah, I think it's that pure.
That, okay.
You know, we used to do...
I was trying to listen to your debate, but...
No, because yeah, you know what I think we should do is put each one of us at a different part of the table. Then we got to go turn it around. I was thinking about that this week.
Thank you.
In a
dream,
what was the feet?
Iron and clay?
What was I telling you?
You're talking about the feet,
the
bronze.
Oh, yeah,
I
understand
the bronze,
but
it's
like
unmovable,
he said.
Okay.
About the furnace. Why is it held so?
So I'm interpreting that right. It's because, of, like you see in the, you know, when something's in your fireplace, they get that glow. If you have those fireplace little skulls and stuff, they glow. So it's a...
So bronze is standing still, for weapons and sculpture, right? And just the thought on it, just for the fact that it's at his feet, it's almost like idols being his footstool, the world, you know, so on and so forth.
Interesting.
I mean, it was the first thing that really just popped in my head, like reading that. It's like bronze was used for statues, it was used for weaponry, it was used for metals, like things like that. So for his feet to be finally done in it to its purest form, and for it to be at his feet, kind of feels like he's standing on falsehood, like the falsehood of the world, basically.
There used to be a custom to bronze baby shoes and stuff.
Oh, we used to
do
that.
Yeah.
And that was to make them permanent.
I want to get back to what Leah was talking about, though, because there's a depth to what she's saying. The Word of God is that powerful. To where it is like a shining, blazing fire.
fire in your hole.
You know what I mean? It's the refiner's fire, they call it. Mm-hmm. And it is true. It's actually what happens in our lives. If you really want to, predict it or this way, when we first hear the word of God, it hurts. We don't even want to. It really hurts. So there's no. Most of us think there's no way. Like, I can't do that. I can't be that. I'm not going to change that. You know, and it hurts. And but the closer we get to Him, the more He refines us. You know, the things in our life are terrible sometimes, but they're wonderful when He's bringing us through something, even though they're terrible things. And the Word of God is that kind of refiner's fire, that blazing fire.
Another thing, you know, no matter what you put in the bronze, it never changes.
Divine judgment.
Bronze, it never changes. Well, God is never going to change God. So yeah. You can relate a lot of things to that.
I'm
going to
read
it's
that.
I wanted to picture my thinking
really
on that. Right. Furnace mm-hmm. is
straight
more
point.
Yeah.
A shine on the
read it, young man.
It says that John saw the Lord's feet were like shining bronze that had been fired in furnace. The feet simplifying the walk and move, and bronze signifies the divine judgment.
Where were you at?
Wait a minute. No,
it's
just.
You can find it in. You can find it in Exodus 27:6.
Wait a minute. Exodus what?
It's just summarize.
You can find it. Yeah, just summarize it. You can find it in Ezekiel 1:7, Daniel 10:6.
They just summarize it.
Most of all the scriptures you find it in.
Yeah.
But it's a
but it signifies his divine judgment.
What does that mean?
His divine judgment.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Judgment.
He's going to be judged.
He's the only one that can judge.
He's a judge. He's the only one
that
can
yeah.
judge.
The only one that can judge. No one else can judge but him.
Divine is the
divine.
Greatest.
The greatest.
Yeah. The divinity of Christ.
Yeah.
No one else has judged. No one else can judge anyone. Only Christ. We can't judge anyone. Only Christ can judge.
And I think it's in Revelation 10.
That's why
you got me sick.
That's why I brought the refiner's fire, because in Christ we get judged too that way, but we get judged by the Word of God revealing ourselves to us, and that's when we have to struggle through that to get through it, and that's what refines us. It changes us. Our whole everything changes. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing for anybody.
Yeah.
You know when the Bible talks about different things that, like, God hardened this person's heart, or God did this, or God did that, we say, why would God do that? He's not going to harden someone's heart. You know what I mean? And a lot of people take it like he really did harden, like he created Pharaoh to be Pharaoh and to harden him so that he can make his point. And I never believed that. And I've heard that taught over and over and over again. What hardened Pharaoh's heart was God, but it was because God won't change.
Yeah,
He is that ultimate fire, that judge. And He's not going to change for you. He's the same forever. Amen. He's unmovable.
Okay.
And so when it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, when Moses went and spoke to Pharaoh, Pharaoh agreed each time. But when Moses left, Pharaoh thought about those things and he got hard to them. Well, those were the things of God, so it was God that was hardening him, because he wouldn't change for God. And that's that refiner's judgment. That's a good thing that they brought to you guys. But that's that judgment of the world, or the judgment of a Christian. A Christian's life changes. We get refined by it. The world gets consumed by it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the
seed falling on the path, or on the rocky soil, or among the weeds and thorns.
But yeah, that's just, our God is that powerful. You're not going to move Him. He's not going to change for you.
Right.
He's not going to, nothing's going to ever be different other than the way He planned it.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that is, dies.
His word is final, no matter what anyone says.
That's right. Yeah. Period. And that's why I don't understand us now that we know. Because we're still making the same mistakes, doing the same stuff, and we know. You know?
Joe said it's heavenly judgment, divine judgment, heavenly judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It's eternal.
I don't know. I think the thing that makes more sense to me is the rigid in the way of the word, like you were saying.
Yeah, but that comes with the judgment, because one's going to be consumed by it for the right, and one's going to be consumed by it for the wrong. Do you understand? He's not going to move for anybody.
I don't know the... I can't see the representation of the bronze, like the judgment, maybe in the way of weapons.
Did you read the other scriptures that I told you to read?
One to Daniel?
Tell him again, those scriptures.
Daniel, what is Daniel? Daniel 1:10? Daniel 10:1?
Yeah, I read the one in Daniel.
What's the other one?
Exodus.
Exodus
27. No, we didn't let you read Daniel last time.
Read it out loud,
Stephen.
You were
going to read Daniel, remember?
I don't know, pick one. It's in my notes.
You were going to read Daniel 7, 9 today.
Yeah, we'll get there.
9 through 13.
You're still not there?
I think it's
okay. Exodus 27:1. I think so.
Exodus 27, 1 through 6.
1 through 6?
Ezekiel 1, 7.
Yes.
I don't know.
Daniel 10, 6.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, read the Exodus 1.
And Revelation 10, 1.
1 through 6, you said, in Exodus?
Exodus 27,
yes.
1 through 6.
You shall make an altar of Achaia. Acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make it horns on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it. You shall overlay it with bronze. Also, you shall make its pans to receive its ashes, and its shovels and its basins and its forks and its fire pans. You shall make it all. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make a grate for it, a network of bronze. On the network, you shall make 4 bronze rings. And it is 4 corners. You shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath that the network may be midway of the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar poles of acacia wood and overlay them with bronze.
Instructions.
Mm-hmm. Did you say Ezekiel?
Yes.
Ezekiel 1:7. 1:7. It only talks about a creature being with its legs being like bronze.
And what does that mean?
Don't know. It doesn't give enough.
Same as his feet were bronze.
Well, it would be a correlation in the word, right? Bronze would be used in the same thing, so we would find like a similarity in those two things. We can figure out what the bronze actually is, right?
Because this one is talking about the cherub. I think. Let me see.
Ezekiel.
Because if the cherubim has bronze legs,
it is the cherubim.
It could be the rigidness and the way of the Lord, because
Daniel?
The cherubim have no free will to do. They just do the will of the Lord.
Right.
The truth is, both of them are correct, because one. Because God's not going to move, so one's going to accept him, one's not. It's like the two thieves on the cross,
right?
And they're not going to move. He's not going to change. One thing I learned a long time ago is God's not going to change for you,
right?
And I tried. I cried. I screamed. I yelled. I pointed at other people. None of it works.
You know what? That would make more sense, because when you read further in Ezekiel, on the same chapter, it says that the souls of those 4 creatures, which all have these bronze legs, are inside of this wheel, and when the wheel moved, the creature would move with it. And it wouldn't move unless that, where its soul was, moved. And so, if it's talking like that, then it might
go ahead and
say that the soul, his soul, is with the Lord.
Right. Like in the days of Moses, when he got told to make a bronze serpent, that bronze serpent represented God's judgment. Mm-hmm. It was his final judgment, because the people that believed in it, who would see it, believed in it,
they got saved, and the other ones died.
Yeah,
it was his divine judgment.
Yeah. That's why I said they're both right, because one is for the saved and one is for the on. It's like the beauty about God is that his word, the Bible says, will bring life to some and death to others. You know, a person chooses, but he doesn't move. Like I said, I tried everything to move him. I really did. I mean, just last week too, but for years.
Just like.
But he doesn't move. And you know, it's better just to resolve to accept him and accept everything about him because he's not going to change. You know?
True.
Just and resolve.
Kind of like when you're playing chicken in the street in the car. Either someone's going to move because you're not.
That's right.
Resolve.
I mean, maybe a bad analogy, but it's
I'll give you a good analogy. A few people have already heard it, but my my son Mark was mad at me like crazy mad. He was about 14. I think my other son was about 16 or 17. But he was telling my son he hated me. I hate Dad. I hate Dad. Like just, right? And my son Matthew said, you know what? I learned a long time ago, you're not going to move Dad. You're better off just to accept it because he's not going to do anything to hurt you. And that was my oldest boy. He came to that conclusion.
Yeah.
You understand? And there was no way that I was going to be moved, and he knew it.
Uh-huh.
And so I was a strict parent, you know, in the Lord. But I don't know why you guys get away with so much now, but... Oh, what was I saying? Oh. But that's the way God is. You know, he's not going to move for you. Not going to change.
It's his way or the highway.
Yeah, and so that is divine judgment.
Yeah,
but it's divine judgment for everybody outside of Christ, because even us who are in Christ that make mistakes, we're covered by him. Doesn't make it right to do them, but we're covered.
What does the
creature
stand for? The creature?
Yeah. It was a creature created by God, I believe.
So you're talking about the serpent? How do you say it?
Cherubim.
Cherubim? Is that what you're talking about? Cherubim.
And they guard the...
Yeah, they were guardians.
They're basically, he's right on that. They're basically angels that are guardians of not just... That throne room of God right there to protect God from things. That's what the Bible, that's what I read in.
Not that God needs protection.
But God already knows
it keeps,
everything.
Why does it keep people from that presence because they're going to burn up?
Yeah.
I think it's more to keep people away from his presence instead
of
the opposite way.
But they also see everything and they know everything. It's weird. And that's just the weirdest thing.
It says that the wheels that are with them. It says that they're covered with eyes, meaning they're able to see literally everything.
But if they know everything,
the wheel,
aren't they like God? Like
no, they were created for God.
They're like an instrument he uses.
Yeah. I mean, the devil was an angel, and he was the most beautiful angel, and he was the what was he in charge of? I can't remember anymore.
Wasn't he like the pastor?
He was on the right hand man. He was.
He
made decisions just like he did.
Yeah.
But he wanted it.
But
the power of it all.
But he wanted it.
I'm gone.
But no, to get back to you, he was created and he wanted to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And so God cast him out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jesus said he saw him fall from heaven like lightning. So he cast them out. So God created everything. So no, they're not like God. They're God's creation for whatever purpose God has for them.
Yep.
You believe it or not.
So is that like the eyes he sees with?
God, he's all knowing. He's all seeing. He knew us before we were woven in our mother's womb.
Right.
Who knows why that's that way, but it is that way.
Because he created, there's two main, or three, but the third one I don't know too much about. There's two main angels that it talks about, which is the cherubim and the seraphim. The seraphim are talked about in Isaiah, which are worshiping the Lord constantly. And the cherubim are to protect him.
Yeah, that's what I read.
That's
why is
those
the
ones
angel
too.
Worship?
But he's talking about the ones in the room.
It's because he wants constant worship.
You and I are going to constantly worship him, and you and I should be constantly worshiping him.
Yeah.
And that's what we are
chapter 12,
right?
Well, he created angels. That's the seraphim is also what Lucifer was. Lucifer was one of the seraphim.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember. Musician, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's more like we created to choose him.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, we get that opportunity to choose.
The cherubim.
Our cherubim were made to worship him. We have the opportunity to worship him.
The cherubs serve as throne bearers of God.
What's that?
The cherubs serve as throne bearers of God.
That's what I know, yeah.
He was given
that's what I was telling him.
Him and a third of the angels.
Because angels typically have no free will, right?
Yeah, and then he gave Lucifer free will. And
why did he give him? But he already knows why.
These are good questions. Probably because none of this would be taking place if that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have
very true. Will.
You think of it.
Adam and Eve would still be in the garden without kids.
A third of the angels.
All these years later.
Chose to follow Lucifer, so maybe. They did have a choice.
Where would they be?
They probably would have been another spot. He wanted all of them in the beginning, in four times.
Say it one more time.
There, he probably would have spawned more of them.
Oh, maybe if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. He said to procreate and fill the earth. But that was after they knew that they were even naked. Before that, they would have probably just stayed. They were eternal beings. They would have stayed in the. Because Adam was the first. Was the first son, and it says in Romans that Jesus was the second Adam. The first one messed up, the second one didn't.
Yeah.
And he was eternal. Him and Eve were eternal beings until they ate of that fruit.
So they're
hating
on all
the
siblings.
He told them. And the day you eat, you will surely die.
Yeah, they were alive eternally until they ate.
And then the enemy said, "You'll not surely die.
You'll be just like God."
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No,
bring it up.
No.
Bring up the quarrels of early Testament.
Go ahead.
I don't know any. So I can't really say
anything. No one knows.
Well, Matt just said that the first Adam. If the first Adam.
Who's the second Adam?
Jesus. But if the first Adam went through the whole thing, then there's. Adam went through the whole thing and did die on the cross. There would have been people on this earth already, yes?
No.
Adam ate the apple.
Yeah.
Adam was the beginning.
No, wait. She's right on, but I just want to tell her something. It's okay. It's because there was only them at the time.
Okay.
And if it wasn't, if all this didn't take place, then we wouldn't be here discussing it. And God wouldn't have people that have free will.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it was all bad when you read about it.
The enemy was Lucifer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Lucifer already fell before he created.
Yep.
Battle's already won.
Amen.
That I can't say. I don't know which came first, but he was there in the garden.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of
it had
pointing,
to either
it's
happen.
Kind of pointing that he already fell, but
he could have fell after they were there and rose up that way.
How long were Adam and Eve like in the garden?
Maybe a million years, maybe 2 million, maybe a week, maybe a month. I don't know.
So.
It was long enough. It was long enough that if I started right now and started naming all the plant life and all this and all that, it would take years and years and years. I would imagine. Right?
I don't know.
He named everything.
I feel differently on that one.
He named everything.
The amount of time?
Well, time was given from the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Of death?
But
or before?
Of when you, Earth was created,
the
7 days.
Day. Yeah.
Right?
7 days.
Yeah.
But
so time was established from the beginning.
But a day to God could have been 1,000 years
exactly.
Or 1,000 years a day.
Could be like 1,000 years to God.
Yeah, but that's like...
Or
in a different context,
but
it was.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have the ability to just let him know everything, like just
right.
in a touch?
Yeah.
As well,
there's
it
a
could have
you
just
know,
in a,
it could have been. That's why. That's why I told her it could have
like
been
that.
A day,
yeah.
A week, a month, a million years. You know.
Soon.
Well, it does say
so,
that he brought all
the
dinosaurs to him too.
He said soon.
Soon and very soon.
Why,
she's got good questions. This one.
Why did he give us free will?
Well, that goes back to
that
what somebody
easy.
Just said. Yeah, you had to choose that one.
Him, right? That one's easy.
Yeah, well, you said
God didn't want puppets to worship him. He didn't want people with, you know, he didn't
but
want...
That's what Sapphire is, right?
Seraphim.
But they were created for that.
He gave us free will so that we could freely choose. How do you know if someone loves you if you don't give them a choice, right? You're going to love me. You're going to, you know, and that's not how God wants. God wants us to freely come to him because we're going to spend eternity with him. He don't want people grumbling, man, I don't want to be here.
I don't want to do that. I want to help my neighbor.
He wants people that love him. And how else are you going to know if someone loves you unless they have a free choice to come to you, right?
Yeah, I understand that part. But I don't really understand the angels or the
seraphim
at all, because he gave us that will to worship him, and like the other one is like for protection, but he's already like everything.
Right. So there's some beings that he created and for specific purposes. Right? The angels were created for specific purposes, the cherubim, the seraphim. They all have specific duties, and so, but
he does it all, right?
What, God?
Yeah.
God can do it all.
God is in all.
He's in all, and, you know, but, yeah. Wouldn't you, if you have power, wouldn't you, hey, okay, you be the one to get the door. Mm-hmm. You be the one to... I mean, I don't know.
So just in that aspect of being able to have those things, us like the fact that we choose him,
right,
goes against it goes against the fundamentals of what you're saying of creating things for its purpose. You know, you create something with the hopes that it would choose you,
right?
So you make it, and then we choose him, despite what's covering us in this world.
Oh yeah, I think the like what Jordan was touching on Sunday is when he was bringing up the image,
mm-hmm.
is us having that free will and choosing him,
mm-hmm.
is a true image of who God is, because mm-hmm. God has that right. will to do what he wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have that free will to do what God wants, we become an image of God. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at that.
Well, somebody was listening on Sunday, huh?
I know.
Yeah.
And then, just like from my perspective, like on an earthly view, it makes no sense why he created us. Like if I was a god right now,
you gotta
now,
open your mind.
I'm not a god, so I.
God wanted us to be companions.
That's a good answer.
He wanted companions. He wants to spend eternity with us.
What did he do with Adam?
That's where it references the bride of Christ so much in the Bible.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The bride of Christ.
Where
my name just says
all of us.
So what was he doing with Adam and Eve in the garden?
He speaks.
The church is the bride of Christ.
Remember?
You don't remember?
Yeah, like churches.
So
uh-huh.
every single
so
evening,
nice.
In the cool of the day,
when
he would walk with
it,
them.
It's so real.
He would spend time
right.
with them.
Oh my
right?
God.
And it was,
oh, because
and they
it's
had
not
the choice.
Like the angels, they, had, like,
they had
could,
free will and
they
could
think for themselves.
Exactly.
Yes. But
yeah.
not without
Cody said,
well, they could without him, apparently, but it's just not
it's
good
not,
thoughts.
Yeah. Cody said he was in charge of music, talking about
yeah.
Lucifer.
Yeah, that's what I was telling
Joe. Said, Joe said he wanted truth.
Yeah, he did.
Joe said he wanted truth.
Yeah, I was about to.
So hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Not me.
What does it mean his voice was like the sound of rushing water?
I don't think we got that far.
We didn't. We're right.
We're
right.
Right into it.
We just talked about
the
feeding
us to it.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, look at that. 16 hasn't been read yet. Let's
I remember you talking about it a little
his
bit.
His voice was like
yeah.
the sound
it was
of
you or Orlando, but I think
yeah.
it was you.
It was, well, it was, I was talking about like the hearing like a bird's wings flap.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just asking if anybody has heard a bird flap its wings like in dead silence. Like it's a pretty like distinct sound. Yeah, like you've heard like humming. I heard like a pretty large
yeah.
crow, and it was like literally everything in the sound just dropped around me, and that's all I heard. So I did it because I had just read about hearing the wings of an angel sounding like rushing birds, and so I was like, oh, okay. So I had just heard that, and I kind of put it into context. Like, imagine hearing like hundreds of those, thousands of those, even. You know, it'd be super loud.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ever standing next to like a rushing river or waterfall, it is like it's loud.
It
you
is
know,
loud.
So. That's the amplifying of his voice when
yes,
he speaks.
That's
the authority,
the
like you were saying,
right.
the power
yes,
and just walking in the spirit and being the spirit.
I see that.
It overpowers.
That scripture, I think it's in Ezekiel, about the river that flows through.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
what I see. And then things would...
Oh, you know what? I can find you the
yeah.
on that one.
Talk about
that one was
verse,
good.
Yeah.
I just recently read it again.
That one's good.
Where'd
verse
you go?
That brought you.
Where are you going?
It's in Ezekiel. I want to say it's like in 30.
It's in this book. It's towards the end. It's what? Speaking.
Don't quote me on that. I'm bad with chapters.
Maybe when it comes up.
He doesn't want to talk about it. It's going to be like a year from now. Matt, you
want to talk about it in 21?
Yeah. From him will flow rivers of living water.
Yeah.
That's what I see it, like the living water that brings life, and it's just rushing water.
And that's what that scripture in Ezekiel is all about, is that water comes like from one point and flows through. Dude, we gotta read it. It's so bomb.
Because we need water to survive, right?
Except this is eternal.
Yeah, but it's eternal water. Like what?
Yeah, you need it to survive.
But it's like the sound of, not with the water records, with the sound of water.
Yeah.
Okay.
So exactly what you could be saying, but it relates back to what the description of Christ looks like.
Right.
It's the physical manifestation of being in the spirit or full of the spirit.
I totally agree with you 100%.
Orlando
said
something.
Break it down. Make it simple.
Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47.
47. The boy, it's... That's because you're talking about the sound of the water, not what the water represents. The sound of the water sounds like the force of water, the resonation of water.
Yeah, which makes sense.
The sound.
MJ.
Yeah.
Proverbs 20:29. The glory of a man is their strength. Gray hair is the splendor of the old.
Read it.
Oh, the temple.
Oh,
47.
Don't talk about it. Read it to us.
All right. It says, ready? 47:1.
I'm on 46.
Okay, one more chapter.
47.
This is Ezekiel, you guys. 47:1.
24 more verses.
Verse what? One?
Verse one.
Got it.
You guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right.
47:1.
It says, the man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out of the north gate and led around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a thousand cubits. And then he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the river has risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Araba. When it enters the Dead Sea, when it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh."
Right, so it is?
This is the word of God coming from his throne. And it's our lives changing. It starts off as a trickle. And then it comes up to our
knees.
Our ankles, and then our knees, and then our waist. Then we're swimming in it. And then it changes, even where it reaches, it changes the bad into good.
Amen. And
changes our lives.
Things grow around it. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? It says, so
are
what?
We the
and
living,
that river is so.
Living the, living beings?
The river, yeah. The river is so heavy and moving so fast when we truly get engulfed in it. That you can't even swim across it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that big. That
because you need God's help.
The force of it.
Amen. It's beautiful, right? And then everything comes and lives around it. That's the way our lives are supposed to be. That's the way the church is supposed to collectively be. It's It's beautiful, but finish reading it.
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead and finish reading it.
Sure.
When I first read it, I brought it to Jordan's attention a while back. I don't remember when, a year or two ago maybe. But when I first read it, I was seeing my life in it when I first got saved and as I started to grow. And then I got to the part where maybe I was just starting to dog paddle a little bit. But you know what I mean? But it was just, we're so far from it, but it's so beautiful. Go ahead. But then...
You seize my hand.
Like, look at our... Look at us here. Just look at us here for a minute, okay? All right. All of us, right? We're all here because somebody was living in that water. Mm-hmm. Amen? And somebody shared that water with you. You know, now you're up to your ankles or your knees or your waist or... You see it? Because things change and they come to live in it. They live around it. Amen? And as you guys grow in the Lord, there's going to be... You're going to touch lives and you're going to touch lives and you're going to touch lives and you're going to touch lives that I haven't touched. Amen? And hopefully they come here and then I get to be touched by them because they touched you. And
you see the beauty around it, and the trees growing around.
What? Go ahead, keep reading. Okay, go ahead.
Finish it up.
It says, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the...
Now we're in verse 10, just in case you got lost.
So where the river flows, everything will live. Mm-hmm. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Englane. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, mm-hmm. like the fish of the Mediterranean. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them.
Revelation 22.
Yeah, finish.
Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing.
Amen. Thank you. I got that.
And Mikey said, Revelation says why God created all things. Revelation 4:11, another spoiler.
We always go back to chapter 4.
KJV, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
For thy pleasure they are and they were created.
Amen. For their pleasure?
For his pleasure.
He chipped in everyone.
That's something else too for you guys to go with. She was talking about earlier is that each one of us has a purpose too. He created you with a specific purpose.
But how can you find your purpose?
You can only find it through him.
Right?
Yeah, but...
The closer you get to him, the more you're going to live the life he literally died to give you.
I got it. In Psalm 29:3.
Where?
Oh, you really want to go there? Okay.
Psalm
29:3.
Psalms says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is of full majesty. The sound of the water represents God, his authority, his voice. It's the sound. We're talking about the sound of the water, not what just water represents,
right,
but the sound of the water.
Yeah. Amen. Was it 29 what?
Psalm 29:3.
Oh, 3, okay.
Just thank God. It's God's pleasure to have you around.
It's like if you're like at a waterfall, you're somewhere, you hear water, you just stay quiet, you hear the water, it resonates, you hear it, the sound.
But
so like God's voice, you
why
hear.
Why doesn't he just reveal our purpose to us, like our specific purpose?
Because we gotta seek him to find it.
Yeah.
You know, if he just laid it out there, people would just be grabbing things and be doing it about their own thing. But he wants a relationship with us. And so when you come to him and seek him and you find it, it grows so much stronger, so beautiful. with a relationship with Christ, and then you see him and feel him working in you, and that it's personal. It's so deeply personal that you can't even explain it to people. Nick's got something.
Yeah, so be quiet for a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Where are we going?
Oh, we're not going anywhere just yet. So
this is from the wisdom of the
Okay, here we go.
Another book in Acts. Anyway, your relationship with God, right? That's the start. That's when you feel the change in your life, and then you go through rebirth. There's a whole scriptures about baptism for a reason. That's why you go walk in the water. You start your whole journey there, submerging yourself in his spirit, starting from your ankles as you continue on and go and grow. So then you start to develop, you start to see, you start to seek. You see a bigger picture around you because your eyes are open. And what's more, you see the life around that God gives to everything when you go into his spirit and submerge yourself. And then you're reborn.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be like a walk, like closer and closer and closer? I feel like sometimes I'm like walking away.
Well, that's because we're still in our bodies. We draw
our hearts should be closer to him.
That's how we draw closer to him, when we choose to submerge ourselves. But we fall away, we draw away, we resurface back in the world because that's the environment. But we're called to stay submerged, so we can show other people the life that is around the living water of God.
Mm-hmm. And so that's
good.
And then go
like
into Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2:13. It says, My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Because God is the living water, he calls us to also be pure, not by our own way. Because you know, you heard the verse that there's a fresh spring of water and salty water can't flow from it, right? By being in him, we take up and continuously flow out the fresh water. That's our life.
The second one is we made something where we can't hold water, right?
Yeah. So it's like a cup with a hole in it. It just never can hold it. That's because we're not choosing him.
But can we fix it, or are we just always...
We can fix it.
He can.
He can. You just have to trust him.
That's the making of the new life.
Yeah. Can he fix it like on earth, or is it only like complete in heaven?
Yes.
It's on earth.
It's on earth.
As it is in heaven.
What's your relationship with God?
Right? We don't have to wait.
Isn't that what it means?
We don't have to wait until we get to the other side. We can start experiencing them now.
But can it be like fully fixed?
No. Not until we get there. Because the Bible says that. Well, here's the deal. We're man. We're still in the flesh. The flesh is evil. It desires everything. But
he's pulling us away.
The Bible says that we are in the world, but we're no longer of the world. So we're still affected by it until we go to be with it. But the cool part is, in 1 John it says, we do not yet know what we will be. That's why we're still flawed, but covered. Amen. By his blood. We do not yet know what it would be, but when we see Jesus, we shall be like him. There's going to be a place of no sin.
Can I ask a question that's not with this topic, but it's been, how do you say that?
On your heart?
Yeah.
How? Podcast.
You like sound effects?
How can you stop comparing yourself to others?
I know how.
You start comparing yourself to him.
Bam. Yeah, but I never do that.
I know.
Like, I don't think of it in this situation.
It's okay though, because you know why? I did the same thing for years, but here's the truth. And he hit a home run with it, okay? Most people are like you. That's a fact. And that's why we always have issues with each other. He said earlier, we don't have the right to judge, only he judges. Right? But since we've been sitting in this room, I've watched faces and people have judged things. They judged what people thought about something, if it was right or wrong, or they had a better idea, or this or that. And that's not what this is about. This is about us coming together closer to Christ
unity.
By learning from each other. Unity.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it already just tonight. Okay? And here's the deal, sister. Are you ready for it? When you compare yourself to Christ, that's okay, because you're going to come up short every single time, right? But the God that we serve and love and loves us so much, right, that he's gonna lift us up every time. He's going to lift us up. And that's where the life change comes in.
Yeah.
That's where you are capable of overcoming, because he's doing it in you. So next time you start to, because I did that for years too. Next time you start to look at somebody like that or whatever, right? Especially if it's me, okay, no, I'm just teasing. But, you know, look to the Lord in those things. He's gonna chastise you a little bit, because he chastises those he loves. He's gonna show you the wrong in it, right? And he might be. You know what really gets beautiful?
So like every time I do it, I see the wrong in it, but I can't keep myself from comparing. Like I already like I'm like would Jesus like because I can't I. I have problems with comparing myself to God, so I compare myself to Jesus because he was like an earthly figure. So I'm like, would Jesus care about these things? And like, he doesn't. And like, it doesn't matter, but like eternal life, but I still think about it.
Yeah, I know. So that's what I was getting. I wasn't really talking. I was talking about God, I was talking about Jesus, but I was talking about Jesus being the one that I would compare myself to.
Yeah, but it brings me more down.
Yeah, that's okay. That's the chastising part, because that's him showing you the truth so that you can overcome it. So, because if you're not shown the truth, you're always going to be like that. And that's just mean and selfish and all kinds of things that bring you down, because you don't want to be that person, but you're being that person. But he'll lift you up out of that. He'll give you a new way of seeing things, a new vision, a more loving spirit, and a kindness that you wouldn't even think was possible. Every single time that people have been faithful to this, okay, you come to me and you have a problem with somebody, I tell you to pray for that person. I'm going to pray with you, right? And if we're faithful to that, God doesn't change the person. God changes you, and because of the changes he made in you, you're okay with the person now. You can even be friends with them. You can get along and everything. Mm-hmm. And that works out 100% of the time when our heart's truly seeking God in prayer.
Mm-hmm. God doesn't give you the answers. He gives you opportunity to learn about what you got to do. You know.
Yeah, he shows it to you.
It's
like amazing to me, because I was going to share with her a second ago. The amazing part to me is he doesn't just show me the wrong I'm doing and all of it and this and that. Sometimes he shows me what maybe the person's really struggling with. He gives me discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is that person doing that? Or why did they act like that? Or why did they dress like that? Or why did they do this? Or why did they do that? And he starts to show me things. What caused it? Where did it come from? I start to feel their struggle. Like, whoa, Lord, like that's really what they're going through. And it's easier for me to accept them and love them and, you know, be around them, be in their lives, everything. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way God works. He doesn't.
But doesn't it also come from the rest part of being in the Lord? You know, comparing yourself to the 10th, comparing yourself to the way Jesus was.
That's beautiful
and
too.
That, and realizing that.
That's the end result.
Yeah, it's like you can compare yourself up and down, left and right, but at the end of the day, when you fall on your butt because of the weight of how wrong you're doing, Jesus is the one who picks you back up.
That's what I was saying earlier, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the mediator.
He can only pick you up if you let him, though.
Yes.
You remember when Peter was sinking in the storm?
Mm-hmm.
He cried out, the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
Lord, save me. And then the Lord reached out his hand and pulled him back up. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that's beautiful, because when he does that, he allows you to see the reason for the storm, what you're going through. He even got to see things about the guys that stayed in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
And he was in the water,
yeah.
And the Lord.
He lost focus.
No, but he was in the water, and God is the water. He speaks.
Yes,
amen.
Put that Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just right on, Nick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joseph, right on, Nick. And
are great questions.
We got 10
They're
minutes.
Honest.
Get your
honest
present.
Questions. Those
we
are
know,
great honest
we,
questions.
We got a prayer we need to stop for right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Felicia asked for prayer, texted Allie. To pray for her and her brother. Her brother just got stabbed. So.
Okay. All right, let's pray. What's her brother's name, did she say? Okay. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I hate things like this, you guys, because I've experienced them. And I've seen some things that just are crazy, but anyways, Father, we just want to come to you, Lord, just asking, Father, that be with Felicia and her family, her mom and her dad, Lord, and any other siblings. I don't even know how many siblings she has. I should know these things, Lord, but I just ask, Father, your blessing. Felicia's been going through a lot right now, and then have this happen, Father. I just ask your blessing over this situation, Lord, that your hand would be in it, Father. Help her brother, Lord, to be okay, Lord, with all this going on, Father. And I just ask, Lord, that something, Lord, anything, Father, that other than the stabbing or the everything we were just talking about really brings this right into play. Like why did it happen? What caused it? What, you know, all these things, Lord. We're not here for that in prayer right now, but it's weird how it goes with the study, Lord. And I just pray for that. I pray that they have an understanding, Lord, that would help them see things, Father, in a way that maybe they didn't even realize they were, whether it's the person who stabbed her brother or her brother or whatever it is, Lord, that you would work it out to where these kind of things never happen again in their lives. Lord, reveal yourself to them in a powerful way and make it known to them who you are, Father, and watch over them. But more importantly, Lord, I can't even put equal value. I don't know where it stands. I just ask, Lord, to make sure that this young man is okay, Father, and that, mm-hmm. that he makes it through this, Lord. And I ask, Lord, you watch over him, watch over his family, Father.
Thank you.
We thank you for this because we don't even know him, but we love Felicia. We love her sister, and we know that what she's feeling right now, Lord. Lord, and we just want to be there with her, Lord, in the spirit, and ask, Father, that you're there in a powerful way, that you move whatever has to be moved to make all this right. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Scary.
Yeah.
Keep us updated, will you, please?
Yes.
Just a crazy study. We got 7 minutes left. Wow. Do we want to take the next verse?
Can you write Tina down?
I will right now.
Okay, thank you.
Right now?
Verse 16. It says, in his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance.
Did we do the double-edged sword already?
Yes. I think we did.
We
just mentioned how it was the word of God.
God's word.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
God's word.
Okay. Keep going. Get to the
seven
stars,
like
seven
angels, shining in all its brilliance. I picture that like God. Nobody can see him. God is light. You know, there's no light source needed. That's another spoiler in there.
Yeah, Revelation 22, I think it is. It said we no longer need the sun or the moon or anything because the radiance of God and of the sun will shine in the brilliance of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We won't need the light anymore.
True that.
We'll be living in it. Amen.
Amen.
That's powerful. That's what we're supposed to be living in now.
Yeah, with the translation and the King James is the shining, the sun shining in its strength.
Right.
Yeah, so that's pretty, like the brilliant. Just go outside and look at it right now. You know,
it's
pretty tough.
Really?
It's
dark right now.
You may end up
hurting your eyes. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades."
That's how we know it was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What about the keys of death and Hades?
What? Because he...
The keys of death and Hades.
Because
he died and rose again. He now conquered death, so he holds the power over death.
And death being?
Death being sin.
Ooh.
There, in that verse, it also said that there is that fear. John had that fear.
Is that like a dead man?
Why is that? They all always have the fear. When he shows up, he's always telling them, "Don't fear."
Because he can read their hearts, yeah. I mean, just imagine, I've just, from two people alone here, when they finally witnessed God, they fell to the floor and couldn't move, you know? And so when you come into contact with God, I would assume your heart goes straight to disparity, like, because you realize how, just like in Isaiah, when he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm undone," you know? Like, you realize how short you really come when you come to the glory of God, that your heart probably sinks, and he's like, "Hey, relax," you know?
You can't compare, and you just see that brilliance of the glory, and you're just like, man, you just feel your worth, and it's like, it's not very much.
He's
know?
Getting to
Those
the depth of it.
Get cleaned by the coal?
They were, yeah.
Who's Isaiah?
They were the coal.
Isaiah.
Yeah.
That was when he said, "Whoa, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live
David,
in the..."
He also tells David not to fear him.
Yeah.
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 But here's,
he also tell, or he doesn't even tell Ezekiel, but Ezekiel had seen him too.
Here's the thing about it is, the Jewish people, they believed that if they saw God, they would die. So that was one of the reasons there. The second reason is all these topics they're hitting on, you can't stand. Okay, I tried to share with her a minute ago. If we're reading God's word and we don't experience his judgment, we're reading it through the eyes of man.
Yeah.
But if we're going before God, then he reveals our sin to us. He reveals everything to us through his word. Okay? That's why it's the washing of the word that cleanses us. It makes us clean. Amen. It takes those things out of our life so we can be born again into a new way. We're set free from them because we're no longer doing them because he revealed them to us, right? When you go before, I would imagine, I don't know, okay, to hit on what Paul was saying. If I saw God right now, today, every single thing wrong with me would come rushing to the front of everything.
Yeah.
And I know I would fall face down.
Mm-hmm.
I know I would. I David says it too, right to the ground in sackcloth and ashes with his face to the ground, man.
I know.
Ezekiel fell face down when he saw the glory of the Lord too.
And that was...
Well, just imagine how you feel in conviction if you were to see God face to face, like in conviction, just when you're doing something wrong, that weight is heavy, you know?
There was a story that was told a long time ago. I know I probably already told Paul and them, but there was an angel, and he was telling people, "Yeah, you can just go to heaven. Don't worry about it. You don't need this or that or the other thing. You know, you're fine. You'll make it in, you know." And the guy dies, and he's on his way to heaven. He's like going up, you know. And the closer he gets to the heaven, is the closer he's getting to the glory of God, right? The closer he gets to heaven, all these convictions start to come. But now it's too late because he never asked forgiveness.
Mm.
All these convictions are coming upon him like crazy. And when he gets there and he's right there in the presence, he throws himself into hell. Because he's not worthy of entering in.
Into what?
Into hell. Because he's not worthy of... He can't
it's
come
just,
into that presence.
He didn't repent.
Yeah, he had to repent.
He did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the angel must have been the devil telling that. But There's, it's in a book I read. I can't remember now, but something about angels. But I like that story. It's always stuck with me because that's really what it's going to be like. People think they're okay until they're not.
Right. There's a.
I like that.
There's this like.
I would rather experience that now. Is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
There's this little cartoon style
so
movie.
Corrected.
This was your life.
This is a little cartoon style movie, and at first it's a little weird. You don't understand it. But it's called The Pilgrim's Progress.
Oh, that one.
And at the beginning, he has this. All of a sudden, he has this little thing on his back. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until finally he gets to a point where it's so big he's literally being crushed by it. And all of a sudden you get like he ends up meeting with this person and gives his life to this person and it's all taken away. And what I would think
I experienced is, that personally.
Is yeah, it's like the story Matt told about when he came to a Lord. But what I would think and what I always thought was the reason why they fell down is because they're feeling the weight mm-hmm. of all their wrongdoings, all their sin, all the things that they did against the Lord. Mm-hmm. They felt the weight of all of it come crashing on their back because they were in the presence of one who can't have that.
Right. The only thing that keeps you from being devastated by that weight is Christ's blood.
Yeah.
That he died for you and he washed it all away.
Like even if you give it, I feel like often like I give it my problems like to God, but then I still think of it. I feel like I'm not really free.
Well, here's the beautiful part about that, young lady. Yeah, the beautiful part of that is you're young. You're just getting started, you know? But truthfully, honestly, I can say that, okay? But all of us still struggle with it, too. But the beautiful thing is you're young and you're seeking him. And as long as you keep doing that, he's going to keep changing your life.
It's going to keep getting better and better.
I have a hard time judging anybody now, and it's kind of scary for me because I don't see things the way the rest of the world does anymore.
Because you're not supposed to judge him.
No, but I don't see things the way the rest of the world does anymore because of it.
That's because you're not supposed to judge him.
And because of that, I don't fit in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it? It's like, mm-hmm. but it's okay. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm free
okay.
from the things that
mm-hmm.
everybody else
mm-hmm.
is bound to. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm perfect. I mess up all the time. But what I'm trying to say is that the closer I get to the Lord, the less I fit in anywhere, except for when I'm with you guys or,
mm-hmm.
or you know.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Amen.
You get it? It's
yeah,
like,
I get it.
It's that level that you're at.
It's a, yeah, it,
yeah,
because you're not, like,
of,
you're not like
you
that anymore. You're
at a certain level to where,
yeah.
you know, you just decided that you don't judge nobody anymore, and that's the way it should have been from the
it
beginning.
It hurts me to
but
do that.
To
it's because you're not producing
go.
Salt water no more.
Yeah, it hurts me.
Salt
it hurts
water.
Me to
ah!
judge now.
Like that.
Like,
mm-hmm.
really hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to tell you guys, even in the church here, I'm around people that are constantly doing that. And when they're telling me, I don't want to hear it. I go home and I don't want to hear it. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets mad at me because I don't want to hear it.
But I need
do you get
to,
it?
I need to tell you.
Right?
I need to get
and
it off my chest.
The thing is that there's so much more we could be sharing in.
Right.
And in doing so, we would be drawing in the others that are having those problems or issues
mm-hmm.
or dealing. Our hearts are backwards. In the world, they're what she was saying, in the Lord, they're changing those things,
mm-hmm.
not just in us, but in the lives of people around us. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the weirdest thing. But I learned a long time ago. I used to tell Paul all the time, but for years now, I've been telling the church, just do the opposite of what the world's doing, and you'll be all right. You know, just be the outside person. Be the one nobody picks.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Just be that person because the rest of it all leads to death and it destroys you and it destroys everyone around you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already lived all that. We've done all that. Why do we keep doing, why would we want, like, I keep telling you guys over and over again, why would I treat somebody the way I hated being treated? But that's where it all stems from.
Bingo, that's a home run right there.
You get it? I hated it. Why would I treat you that way, Kathy? I hated it when somebody did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just
you want to tell others that you wish
to
do unto
you.
You.
Yeah. That's right. And that's not contingent on what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's, you should be that way all the time.
Yeah. That's when you know you're free from it.
Joe said, great study. Amen. He overcame death.
Amen. That was the end. That was the last scripture. She's right. Right. Yeah.
He overcame death. Okay. Let's get our prayers. Prayers in.
Those were great questions tonight, man. I love that. That's what Bible study is supposed to be about.
That one? We'll pick up in 17 or 19.
19.
Thursday.
Yep.
But you gotta read 17 first.
Don't simplify everything, you guys, but the piece you were just talking about, we can only have when we have simplified or we've let go of.
Jesus talks about it. The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
My peace I give you. I don't give you peace like the world gives you peace. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's not. His peace is eternal.
It's like what Jordan was saying on Sunday. What counts for righteousness in the world is not what's righteousness in the world.
No, you know what counts for righteousness in the world? Self-righteousness. You accomplished it. You got it done. You this, you that. I, whatever. You understand?
It all sounds like pride.
But in the Lord, it's the opposite. It's the opposite.
His righteousness, his love. He did it. I'm nothing without him.
If we truly could think that way and live that way, this would be a whole different world. Get past yourself. You know, you'll never be able to reach somebody if you can't get past yourself.
She was good. Set.
We're always the one in the way. We're that mountain. God wants to move.
Orlando, Chris.
Prayers for a clan, prayers for a church, prayers, like I said, Sunday, for unity in our church, that we should all see the same things and the same thought and the same mind.
Amen.
Yes.
Should be that's no division. Not, and that's should be no division
my,
in our church.
That's not my thought or your thought or
that's
anybody
God's
else's
thought.
No, that's God's
that's
thought.
That's what God
Amen.
Put in my heart.
For my thoughts are not your my
exactly.
My thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways.
Household.
For all our children, but all ten in the church.
But just special prayer for me and Orlando. Orlando's being attacked spiritually now, so just keep us in prayers.
How are you doing, sister? Since we prayed,
it went from her to me.
Oh, for real,
brother, pastor. Let's just say that I was sharing with Brother Paul. Some roots are being pulled. God's correcting me.
Damn, thank you, Lord.
Because I mean,
thank you, Lord.
He's correcting me, and he's teaching me, and I feel that I see why I see it. He wants to show me things.
He wants
so
to take you deeper.
It hurts, though.
But he wants to take you deeper.
He wants to take me deeper.
Right.
And me and Orlando, we've been really getting more closer together.
Amen.
Doing our studies together.
That's beautiful.
Praying together, studying together. He's taking. I can see why, but he needs to finish with. He needs to pull. Let
Sister,
me show you.
When we're in our 80s, we'll have the same conversation. just let him work where he's working now, because he's got so much more to do.
It's like I'm in the water and he's talking to me and I'm swimming like, okay, don't let me go now. But I can see that he's pulling. It's not easy.
Refiner's fire. It's that refiner's fire we talked about.
It hurts.
He's not going to change for us. Mm-hmm. We have to do the changing.
We have to do.
But I don't know how
to swim. Pray, for my daughter. She went
still
through something, a car accident with Calvin and Callie.
For you.
So, there you go. And that's it.
Who got in a car accident?
My daughter. Her car got towed, and she's
Is she okay?
They're okay.
Okay.
So I had to do, she's
okay.
Okay,
that's a praise
God.
Then.
But
yeah.
She's just like, the car. And I go, car's not important.
Yep. More the car. You're breathing, you're alive, you're in good health. You're good.
Amen. I have a praise, right?
Yeah.
Praise? Yeah. My sister went to the doctors today. She hasn't been able to walk on her foot for like 3 months. He told her, wait as is comfortable to you. Like she thinks, he said that in 6 weeks she has another appointment, and he said you better be walking in here with a cane.
Oh, good. Praise God.
So
how's Mark doing, by the way?
He's doing better now too.
Good.
Yeah. So keep it all in prayer, but that's bomb. My sister's been like...
That's great news.
No, that was horrific.
Mm-hmm. That was horrific.
Mm-hmm. That's great news.
Yeah.
And your mama?
So she's doing good too.
You're doing all right? Shirley, you doing all right?
Yeah.
And Lou?
Yeah, I haven't seen Louis. Mm. But pray for him.
Oh, well.
But yeah, that's so cool. I don't know.
Anybody
else?
You usually don't call your dad.
She
said Louis.
I don't know.
All right,
he's
do you
get up? He's been out of the hospital. Doing okay, I think.
Me? Okay, so we prayed. Remember how we prayed for Hannah and Kyle, the ones who lost their baby? Well, they are pregnant again, but they do want a lot of prayers because she doesn't want to go through another miscarriage.
Yeah. All right. That means we need to keep her in prayer. You guys write it down, or keep every time you pray in your daily time, be pray.
They have a term for that. What's it called? The baby after a loss.
Oh man, I guess
blessing.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
For the company. Well.
Well, for Jacob, for the company.
I think I'm fine.
Jacob, pride before a fall. We're going to pray for Jacob.
Oh. Sure, go for it.
We don't want you to fall.
But
you built you up.
What's it called? We won a bid today, but it was over the engineer estimate quite a bit, so it might fall through. So keep that in prayer that it doesn't. But they knew it was in the job walk that it wasn't going to be $1 million. It was going to be way over. So hopefully they keep it. So
right on. Praise God.
Catherine. Nothing. Steve.
You know, just nothing against the women or the ladies or anything like that, but just for guidance in the men, just because of us talking to everybody throughout the week, it just feels like every time we come together on Sunday, it seems like just there's something that comes along during the week and whatnot, and it just kind of seems like it puts a damper at some point in the mood between all of us. So
really, men?
Men? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll
I don't know what
thank
it is.
Thank you, Lord, that I'm oblivious.
Oh, it's all your fault. So
it probably.
You know what?
No, really.
You know what? Because it's on Sundays when I noticed it, so.
Really?
You
probably
oh, made I made some visits this week.
Yeah.
Go, Steven.
It's called a rainbow baby.
Interesting.
When you get pregnant after.
Okay, so my sister is leaving for a cruise tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow?
Wait, what happened? Tell me again.
My sister is flying to Florida to go on a cruise to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Rico. Just keep
that
in prayer.
Family.
I don't know how I feel about that, but she's an adult. She can do her things.
Probably
I'm
going to
get
home.
I'm praying
for
hardcore. All right. Cyrus.
I'm not going to carry you. You've got to.
Nothing? Leah. I'll just pray for Leah.
Then Mary will give me a piggyback ride home.
She'll be dragging
it.
On the floor.
If anybody can do it, she can do it.
Yeah, that's what scares me.
I'll just pray for Leah.
No, I'm fine.
And we'll pray that Thea will be up.
Well, I'm going to pray that your sickness is gone.
Amen.
This just came on like that. So.
Get down with the
trust
sickness.
Me.
It'll go way more.
Cyrus came back with
your
the prayer.
Your dad gave it to me. You heard him call me, right?
You do have something, Cyrus.
Yeah.
What?
To get better because I've been having some earaches lately.
Earaches?
Oh, there we
sounds
go.
Sounds like an ear infection.
There we go, Cyrus.
He's better to see it.
Oh, you went swimming?
Definitely an ear infection.
All weekend.
I'd rather get something.
That's what usually it is.
I think the only time we spent out of the pool was sleeping.
Yeah,
definitely
that
an ear infection.
Wait, that cold. Oh, was that cold?
Yeah. Some Vicks on a cotton, piece of cotton and shove it in your ear.
It's
homemade Vicks.
It helps.
Yeah.
It'll help anyone.
Okay.
I just said
MJ.
Are you clan?
Yes, you got my clan down.
Okay.
I'm praying all day. I pray all day.
Prayers for a job.
My clan needs to get bigger, bigger, bigger. Like, oh my God.
Nick.
It all depends on the outfit.
What he said?
Your ear drop.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Confirmation somehow.
So sorry.
He blinked his eye.
Go ahead.
I'll just say for Nick.
For you. What about you, young man?
I didn't.
You know when you don't judge.
I only say that because I have a certain rotation I'm trying to keep.
When you judge, you'll be judged. But when you don't judge, that means nobody can see you. Everybody judges, so you're invisible. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Tony.
I'm invisible.
Pray for me.
So.
Did you get it?
Yeah. Pray for me for Sloa. Keep me safe and senior assassin. I want to win. No, you don't have to write that down.
Senior assassin. It's a little game. You can win like some money.
Tomorrow, protection is gonna be off limits, so.
Oh, so it can happen during.
You don't want that.
School hours.
No, not
that time.
You have to like
explain. Can we get some prayer?
Matt needs some prayer for Clem's mind.
Okay, well that's good.
Senior assassin is a game.
Oh, I know that.
We gotta go.
Yeah.
Okay, we gotta go.
But no, Jacob.
My surgery is 2 weeks away.
2 weeks.
Whoa.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
We pray soon we'll be safe. It's been 1 week. Oh no.
We gotta start praying.
Anything else?
Oh, let's pray.
Otherwise, I gotta go.
How are you, Paul?
Good.
All right. Really, I like that. He said that because his mom's online.
For Sloan's health specifically.
Alright, I got her down. I'll make sure it's about her health. Okay. Alright, yeah. Forgive me about my sinuses. I might sound a little weird, but let's pray. Alright. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing in the study, Father. We thank you for everything you're bringing out through your word, everything you're bringing out through our hearts, Father. We thank you for where you have us, and we ask that you would continue to be with us, Father. Continue to grow us and lead us and guide us every single day. Help us to grow in unity with each other, Father. To grow as a church, not as individuals, but as one church focused on you, focused on being obedient to you and to loving one another, Father. Get rid of any disunity within your church and within your body. Bring us all as one, Father. Take away any judgment, anything that's not right, Father. We ask your hands over just building this church, Father. Build the leaders, prepare us and guide us, Father. Bring those that are ready when you're ready, Father. When you say it's time, then bring those that are going to fill this church, Father. Break open the doors, Father. Make the floodgates happen. We ask your hands again over Felicia, Lord. Just have your peace over her, Father, and over her brother. Heal her brother and keep him safe, Father. And have your hand over the person who stabbed him as well, Father. We ask that you would just have him think about what he's done, Father, or she's done, whoever it may be.
Thank you.
We just ask that you would bring to light what has happened and help them see the errors of their ways, Father. We ask your hand over Tina, Father. We ask that you would heal her, Father, and just be with her with all of the medical things going on, Father. Help her to be full of your spirit constantly and to be full of your peace all the time, Father. We ask your hand over Orlando's clan. Be with each person, each family member, each friend, each person that he just met. And we just ask that you would be with them all, Father. Help them to have your will over their life, Father. Your will is for that none would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of you, Father. And we just ask that you would do so in every life, Father. We ask your hand over Jackie and Orlando as well, Father, that you would just build them up, Lord. Protect them during this time of trials and tribulations. When this enemy is attacking, we ask that you would just send your spirit to fill the home, fill the people, fill everything, Father. Help them to constantly feel your presence, even when they sleep. And when they wake, that they would just wake refreshed and restored by you, Father. We ask that you would be with them during this time, Lord. We ask your hand over Jackie's daughter and family. Just help them to continue to be at peace and help them with the recovery after this accident, Father. The car being messed up and all of that, Father. We ask that you would provide, Father, and that you would help them to continue to be under your protection, Father. Them being safe is an amazing thing to hear. A lot of times you don't hear that, Father. And we thank you for that right off the bat. We thank you for your protection over them, Father. And we continue to ask it for them, Father. We ask your hand over Matt's sister to continue healing her, Father. It's amazing how far she's come already, Father. And we just ask that you would continue healing her, Father. This is such a little time that she's been healed already, Father. It's amazing to hear, Father. We ask that you would just help her to walk, both just completely uninterrupted. Like the doctor said, that in another couple weeks that she would be walking with a cane, Father. And we ask that that would be true, that you would just have it be done, Father. You say it and it'll be done, Father. We just ask that you would say it, Father. We ask your hand over Matt's dad, just continue having your healing hands over him, continue having your protection over him and that household, Father. We ask your leadership over all their lives, Father. Be with them, lead them, and guide them, Father. And we ask your hand over Hannah and Kyle as well, Father, that you would just make this pregnancy better than the last, Father. That you would just have the pregnancy go to full term and that they would not lose the baby, but it would just be a blessing from you, Father. We ask your blessing over their life, that you would take away any fears, Father. Mm-hmm. Fear isn't of you. And we ask that you would just remove it from their life, Father.
Thank you.
Help them to be restored by you, Father, and to have peace over this time, Father. We ask your blessing over their life, Father. We ask your hand over the Rufio family as well, Father. Just continue building up that family, Father. Help them to continue in your leadership, that they would continue strongly walking with you, Father. And anything that isn't of you, any thought, any way that they're walking, anything that's not right, we ask that you would remove it from their life, reveal it to them, and remove it, Lord. Help them to walk with you, Father, and that they would lead their baby Sloan in the ways that you've shown them, Father. And we ask your hand over Sloan, that you would continue keeping her healthy, help her to grow up strong, Father. And we ask your hand over Ruthio, the company, Father. Just help them to continue to be fine, Father, that you would continue leading them, Father, and that you would just have your hand over this bid, help it to go to full term, and that there would be no real complications, Father, even though they already found a couple, Lord, but we just ask that you would help it go through, Father. Help them to do right by it, Father, that you would make a miracle. And we ask your hand over Ruthio, that he would continue to be at peace, Father, that he would be fully your spirit, Father, at all times, not just here or there, not just in one moment or another, but that he would always be fully your spirit and always resting, Father, always restored by your spirit, Father. And we ask your hand over the men of this church. Stephen, you showed Stephen in, and we just ask that you would restore the men, if it, whatever's holding us back, Father. Just remove it, Father. Remove it from every man, every life, Father. I know in the Bible it says that you called the men to be leaders, Father. Mm-hmm. And we ask that we would be righteous leaders from you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
A leader is meant to follow you, Father. And we ask that we would represent you in a righteous way, Father. And Father, just have your hands over Allie's sister with the travels that she's going to be doing. Keep her safe and help her to make right decisions, not one that would harm her or compromise you, Father, but help her to be safe and walking your path, Father. We ask your hand over Leah. I know she didn't ask for prayer, but I'm going to ask anyway because it's on my heart. that you would remove this sickness, Father. Help her to be fully restored, like she said, tomorrow. So I'm going to stand on it, Father, that you remove it from her and that tomorrow she's fully fine, Father. Remove the cop, remove whatever is ailing her, Father. Remove it all, Father, in your name. And Father, we just ask the same for Cyrus, Father. Remove this earache. I know for a fact it's an infection because that's what happens when you're in the pool for a long time and water gets in your ears. And so, Father, remove it, Father. Have it be healed by your name, Father. Because it says in the name of Jesus, all things bow. And so we declare that right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, that it would bow to you and that it would be removed. And we ask your hand over Mary's clan. Help them all to be in your presence and be fully your will, Father. Your will be over every person, Father. Whether it be sickness or not knowing you, just be in your will, Father. And Father, just have your hand over Nick. I know he didn't give an answer on any of it, Father, but we just ask your hand over him, Father. Over every situation, over every part of his life, Father. Help him to just be full of your spirit, Father. Mm-hmm. I love what he said today, Father.
Thank you.
It was awesome. And I thank you for putting that in his heart, Father. And I ask you continue to build him up, Father. Help him to walk your path, Father. And we ask your blessing for a job, Father. Father, we also ask your hand over Tony, Father. Just continue working in her and through her, Father. I can already see the changes, even though she hasn't. I can already see them a little bit, Father. And we just ask you continue to change her heart, continue to work in her, and continue building her up, Father. Because right away, acknowledging something's wrong is the first step to changing it. And we thank you for having her see what is wrong, Father. And we ask you continue working with her, leading her and guiding her. We ask all the nerves be away from my brother, Father, as he's in this 2-week waiting period for the surgery. Help him to just remove it all, Father. Any fear and anxiety and doubt, any frustration, whatever it may be, Father, remove it all. Anything that is not edifying you, Father, and edifying him, help it to be removed from his body, Father, removed from his mind. Help him just be at peace at all times, in all situations. And Father, just keep us all safe as we go home. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.